Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
Last night, I went to Kingdom Men, from the church here, had a camp out. And they had, you know, fathers and sons and a bunch of children. I don't know how many kids were there. But they had them, and, you know, there's probably 40 people there. And you could feel God's presence there. I mean, they had a fire going, big fire, all these tents, and kids running around. And then they said, well, Pastor Fred's here to speak. So they had me come. And I sat around this fire, and I sat in a chair. And then Kenny had a headlamp. He had a headlamp and let me use his headlamp. It was just dark out there. And so I had my Bible with me, and I got there, and I couldn't. I thought, man, because I got a headlamp. I said, I wish I'd have brought my headlamp. He brought me a headlamp. And so it lit up so I could read the Bible. But I read from Exodus about how Moses, as how God used Moses, listen, he brought the children of Israel. Now listen, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. So he mentions the eagle. And so that's what I did. I taught about an eagle there last night. And we've been talking about God is calling young men, children, to be men, young women to be women, calling them to be who God created them to be. And that's what prophecy does. It calls them to be everything God made them to be. And so the eagle is a picture of God's character. And in the Bible, it's talking about the golden eagle, the golden eagle. And so I sat down there and I started teaching on this eagle. And I'm just going to give you a quick thing on how when eagles, golden eagles, mate and begin to date, we'll call it dating. They're just kind of before they're going to hook up. It takes 1 to 3 years before they make a decision to build a nest. When they make a decision to build a nest is when they say, okay, we're consummating this relationship, and it's over. We're going to hook up after 1 to 3 years. So it takes a minute to get to know each other. So one of the first things the female golden eagle does, they fly 10,000 feet. It's nothing for a golden eagle to fly that high. They've been seen as high as 37,000 feet. There was a plane flying over Africa, and this is where you find golden eagles as well, and a salmon was dropped 30-some thousand feet in the air and got stuck on the windshield of this plane. There's no other explanation for this salmon to be dropped that high in the air. They startled the eagle, and he had it in his talons, and he dropped it. And it got stuck on the windshield of the plane. Isn't that amazing? But they can fly. They fly higher than any other bird. No bird can even get close to the golden eagle. And here's what they do. When they start to court, the female will go down and get a log. Not a twig. A log. Off the ground, heavy. They're strong. She goes down, she gets a log, she flies up with this log as high as 8 to 10,000 feet, and she drops it. And that log is just, you know, that's going to go flying, isn't it? Now, the man, the male, he's got to swoop down and catch it with his talons before it hits the ground. Because if it hits the ground, he failed the test. This is real. So that happens a couple times. And that male has to, if he wants this woman, he got to catch this log. So he catches that log several times, and she says, okay, we're ready to build this nest. Now, why did she do that? Because after they build their nest, they line it with rabbit fur. And a golden eagle will not eat dead food. It won't eat a dead deer along the road. Or dead, won't eat anything. Vultures eat dead. They'll only eat, they look for what's dead and rotten. A vulture will. A vulture has the appearance of an eagle when it flies. Some people mistake them because they look very similar when they're flying. But a vulture is completely different than an eagle. So a vulture will eat dead stuff, and he'll sit down there and he'll eat on an old dead deer rotten, and he'll get so full of it that he can't even fly and get off the ground. His own appetite makes him immovable. And now he's prey to his enemy. Now his enemies can get him because his own appetite caused him so he couldn't move when he needed to. Did you get that? That's the way we can be. So now think about this. The golden eagle won't do that. It has to have live food. It takes it back to the nest and then kills it and then eats it and feeds it to the eaglets. So now why did she throw that log? Because remember, the male has to come down and catch it. You know what that's saying? The male, men have to be able to take care of their children when they get married, when they hook up. Does this make sense? And if you can't take care of my children, we're not going to hook up. And when they hook up, it's forever. And they stay together until they die. Vulture's not like that. A vulture, while the one vulture, his mate or whatever, is having their vulturettes or whatever you call them. We'll call them vulturettes. That vulture will go and hook up with a female. Just, you hear what I'm saying? Wow, his hat. Did you catch what I said? Do I need to explain it more? An eagle won't do that. It's faithful to its mate. And that's what a man of God will do. Stay faithful to their mate. And to the marriage. Am I making sense? Yes. This is huge. There's so many more. I didn't come to talk to you about an eagle. But I really want you to see, this is what we're doing with these young people. These children, we want them to understand how to be a man, how to be a man of God, and how to be a woman of God. This takes work. And their nest weighs anywhere from 1,500 to 2,500 pounds. Most of that material comes from off the ground. And their nests are built 6 to 8,000 feet in the air, in the rocks. And that's how much they weigh. They work hard. So men are supposed to work hard for their wife and take care of their wife and their kids. And the men will even put golf balls. If there's a golf course, they'll go down and grab golf balls, put them in the nest. Shiny lids off cans, put them in the nest. And then, so the kids have something to play with. They're providers. So the kids have something to play with while they're growing. Isn't that amazing? That's a reality. But then when the kids get ready to fly, they start throwing all the toys out. They throw the toy. The golf balls go. The shiny lids go. All that goes. And then they break the branches in the nest. I wasn't going to say all this. They break the branches to make them sharp. So when the little eaglets spread their wings, ow! It starts getting uncomfortable in there. They're teaching them, you're going to have to live. You're going to have to grow up and be dependent on God and not just us as your parents. Amen. Did you get that? Oh, there's so much. This is in the Bible. But you got to exegete it. You got to get it out of there, extrapolate it out of there. Am I making sense? So now, we're going to talk about something else. Got you thinking about eagle now, don't I? Good, maybe you'll study it. Golden eagle. Powerful bird. So much to apply in our character. And you find it in Ezekiel in the wheel. There's an ox, there's a lion, there's an eagle, and a man. And the eagle represents the character, God's character. And so that's the way God wants the men of God to be and how they treat their wife and their children. You can find that out by studying an eagle. So we have been talking about prophecy and the gifts of prophecy. And we are going to go to our vision. And Christina, you were here last. We're going to start with the same prophecy verse, 1 Corinthians 12:1. And so if you'll all stand up, I want you to see this. To build a people who are established in God's word, advancing his kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit and the bond of peace. All right. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All right. We're going to talk about prophecy today. And it talks about tongues there. And, you know, I've heard a teaching that's not biblical where it says if you don't speak in tongues, you're not saved. That's not sound theology. That's not biblical. Because not everybody speaks in tongues. Did you catch this? Yes. I believe I speak in tongues. But I'm not going to try to force you into it. Are you with me? Tongues is something, and it's for you, the person. It's not for other people. It's only for other people when there's an interpretation. That's why if you would come in here and we were all speaking in tongues, some people would think we're, you know, cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. You know what I'm saying? Looney Tunes, you know? But that's not the way it's going to be here because that's not the way it is. And you're going to, some of this, you see why. So we have to understand that. Now, look what he says. To another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy. Discerning of spirits, to another, different kinds of tongues, and to another, the interpretation of tongues. Okay. So, go ahead and be seated. We're going to get into this. So, let's go to Christina. So we're going to talk about prophecy today, right? Prophecy is really when you speak God's word. You prophesy. It's literally, one of its meanings is to speak. So a lot of times when you speak, you're prophesying. Sometimes you're prophesying your own future. Anytime God created anything, he spoke. You create your future with what you say. Now, What did I tell you to go to? 1 Corinthians? Yeah, there you go. So, you guys listening? I went to that camp last night, and they all said, yeah, we've been telling the kids, pay attention, because if you don't pay attention now, it's going to cost you later. That's what Pastor Fred says. See, that's not Pastor Fred's. I didn't come up with that. I don't know who came up with that, but I've read it in several books, and I believe it 100%. You know, but they were telling everybody, that's Pastor Fred said. No, that's the way it is. If you pay attention in life, it's going to help you in life. And this is why we got to learn to listen. We got to really, really, really reel it in and learn to listen. You're going to hear that today. All right, now watch. Look what he says. Pursue love. Now, this is the agape. This is the agape love of God. This is not philia. This is not thermos. This is not eros. Eros is sexual love. Philia is brotherly love. Thermos is passionate love. This is agape love. Okay? This is the love of God. It says in 1 John 4, God is love.
Amen.
Not God does love. God is love.
Amen.
So when we are in love, God is working. Did you hear me?
Yes.
Now, he says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Remember, paying attention? Remember, a gift, these are the manifestation gifts. So the gift is for the moment. It's not coming from the giver. So there's going to be gifts coming out today that aren't coming from me. It's coming from God to you. And you're going to get something today. It's going to help you. But it's God's gift to you. Did you catch that? But here's what people do. They get something really, you know, really open their eyes, and they'll come up and tell me how great I am. But that's not it. God was working. Did you hear me?
Amen.
People come up to me and say, how did you know that about me? How did you? It's like you were in my house listening to everything. No, it's God's word being reading your mail. Simeon was a prophet in Luke chapter 2. And when he held Jesus, he said, this baby, Christ, he says, this baby speaks, it's going to be like a sword. Sword. The Bible says the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is living and powerful.
Hallelujah.
It cuts you.
Yeah.
Spiritually. Opens up your heart. And exposes. It convicts. And censors. And exposes the dark areas of your heart. And God's trying to bring the light of his word in there. So you catch it and catch correction, reproof, and instruction to be the man of God that he created you to be.
Amen.
Oh, that's good stuff right there. Are you listening to me? That is what's going on. And see, but it's not coming from me. It's coming from God. You see that? But you see, people will make a preacher out to be some great person. You know, they're good people. They're trying to be good people. But they're just God. They're just doing their gift, using their gift to help people, right? So am I making sense?
Yes.
So now think about this. That's important to understand that. It says he reveals the hearts of men. He's going to show you what's in your heart. All right, we're going to keep moving. Now look. So now, he says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. But especially what? That you may what?
Prophesy.
He wants you to prophesy, but he wants it out of love. Did you hear me? Out of agape love. And that only comes from a relationship with God. When you have a healthy relationship with God, Now it's going. When you speak, it's going to benefit the hearer. It's going to help the hearer.
Amen.
The person you're speaking to. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
Am I making sense?
Yes.
But now look. This is huge, guys. I can't talk about this enough. Oh, I'm excited. Okay, give me the next one. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. When you speak in tongues, okay? And like I said, I speak in tongues. It's good to speak in tongues. It edifies the person who's speaking in tongues, not the people. It only edifies the people and builds the people up when it's interpreted. Okay, now, look at this part. But he who what?
Prophesies
speaks what?
Edification.
Exhortation and comfort to men and women. Women and men. You see that? So, edification, exhortation, comfort. That's what we're supposed to speak. Out of love. Are you with me?
Yes.
So now I said, okay, I was speaking to Donita this morning before we came to church. I was bouncing some of this off of her before I brought it to you. That's what I do sometimes. She said, oh no, we're going to be late. We're going to be late because you're preaching to me. She's a good soundboard. So we had to hurry up and get moving. We were almost late. But here's the idea. Our speaking, we've got to be aware of what we're saying. Now watch. He who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. Now, this is where you hear me say this over and over. And you know what? Sometimes we need to hear things over and over and over. That's why it says faith comes. Everything that God does is in faith. If it's going to be the kingdom of God, it has to be in faith. It has to be believed. If God is in it and doing it. Catching this? So, but he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. We have to keep hearing stuff over and over. Right? You with me? You know why? Because sometimes we have these hurts and these wounds, maybe from our childhood, maybe from our father that maybe abused us, a trauma, you know, a divorce, some trauma in our life, and that can contaminate the way you receive. And so what happens is you're always on the defense, and you defend yourself because you're protecting yourself. Am I talking to anybody?
Yes.
You're defending yourself, and you're always on this defense. So you really can't receive it right away. When it comes, it's like you don't receive it because you're protecting yourself. All right, you'll catch this. This is huge. Now think about this. But he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort. Now let's go to Ephesians 4:29 real quick. I always speak this over people because God has made this so clear. This is where marriage breaks down, relationships break down, you know, people break down at work. They break down because of this right here. They don't understand what I'm talking about, what God's talking about right here. So this is what he's saying here. Now, look what he says. You'll see why. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary what?
Edification.
What was prophecy, true prophecy? Edification. Exhortation and comfort. Edification, okay? Everybody say edification.
Edification.
This is important. You got to get through your filter, your hurt maybe, something. Got to keep saying it because it's important. Listen, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. You see this word corrupt? This word corrupt, paying attention?
Yes.
This is what it means. This word corrupt means noxious. N-O-X, nox. It's noxious. Makes you ill. Putrid. That's what it means. Putrid. Rancid. Man, it's got a stench to it. That's what your words have. Make people ill. You paying attention? So people will come here. This is what happens. People will come here and they'll hear me say, you need to be serving your wife. Wives need to be serving your husbands. And they'll go home. Woman will come here and she'll go home and Pastor Fred says, you need to be serving me. Oh, okay, I'll tell Pastor Fred. I remember one time, we had one guy come, and this gal was coming here so often, everything was changing through her. And he said, I got to meet this Pastor Fred. I'm going to give Pastor Fred what for. He came here and got saved. He was mad at me. He got tired of hearing what Pastor, but it was making him mad. It was corrupt to him. Are you listening?
Yeah.
This is huge. Corrupt. Now think about this word corrupt. When you understand this, this will change a marriage. This will change a relationship. It changes everything. Because God wants you to have paradise at home. Now look, he says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Only that which edifies. Did you hear that word corrupt? See, that's why it says we've been born again in 1 Peter 1:23, not of a corruptible seed, but an incorruptible seed.
Amen.
So we want to bring the incorruptible in our relationships. When you don't bring the incorruptible, you bring the corruptible. And you're the one causing the problem in the marriage. You might even be using scripture. Sometimes to hear scripture is like, yeah, I don't know what that means. Are you listening to me? Because the person hasn't been to church and understand and not mature yet, and then you're telling them, well, Pastor Fred says you're supposed to be serving me. Okay, I'll serve you. You hear what I'm saying? Becomes corrupt, then causes strife, causes problems, because the new hasn't been learned yet. All things become new. When you become a Christian, you're a new creation. Old things passed away, all things become new. Now you're supposed to bring the incorruptible to your relationships.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You've been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service time is Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sydney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.